All right, appreciate so much an opportunity to bring a message to you today from God's Word. Again, my name is Terry Schultz. I work as the coordinator for our Haiti mission right now, and I'm also the coordinator for the music program for Latin America. Have 15 years doing mission work in Peru by the grace of God, and 5 years in the Dominican Republic, and just do kind of help out in various fields, these days. It is such a joy, an unimaginable joy, to do mission work. You can hardly put into words what it is like to bring that gospel message to a place where it has never been heard before. And there's still places like that that have never heard the name of Jesus. And to see that power of the Holy Spirit at work among the people. This is especially true the work we did with an Amazon tribe deep in the Peruvian Amazon jungle. And as you do that mission work, bring God's word to people who have never heard it before, declare the forgiveness of sins that Jesus bought for us on the cross, the changes that happen in those communities, it's indescribable. It is, of course, bringing this light into a village that was never there before. But very early on, as we talk about God's free forgiveness for the sake of Jesus, we also talk about the need to forgive. We think of the Lord's Prayer, that one petition that actually has a condition attached to it. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Sobering words indeed. So as we do the mission work, very early on, we talk about the need to forgive others. Among Amazon tribes that have been warring with each other for generations, tribes that will still have raids on each other's villages, drag the women away. Deaths, of course, occur. Basically, a lot of the village areas are a law to themselves. The national police are certainly not going to go out into the middle of the jungle to track down these different incidents. But imagine preaching forgiveness to those who have seen family members killed or family members literally stolen. Going to Kenya for a couple of weeks with Professor Al Sorm, some of you may know him, working with a group of South Sudanese student pastors, three of whom live in refugee camps. Men who have seen unimaginable horrors. And to bring that message that we need to forgive as God forgives us. And perhaps in no other place in the Bible is it as clear what we need to do as that wonderful treasure of a parable that we find in Matthew 18. But let's not apply this only to the foreign mission field. Let's search our hearts here today also. Here we are, the end of January, the month of New Year's resolutions. Probably a few of those have already ran off the rails. How about this for a resolution? I am clearing out any of those grudges, those resentments, those things I hold against who? Could be family members, co-workers, bosses, people who have done things to us in the past. We got fired, we got bad grades, we got beat up in school. All these things, some things we indeed carry around for years. Today, listening to God's word, time to clear out any resentments, any grudges, anything that we have not let go of. Because as we all know, the true definition of forgiveness means to also forget it. We no longer hold it against the person who has wronged us. Matthew 18, what do we find? Verse 24, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Okay, now Peter thinks he's doing pretty good here. According to a lot of the Jewish culture at that time, some of the rabbinical teachings, three was the number you would often see. You know, someone wrongs you once, comes back, does it again, same thing, three times, it's like, hey, you know, fourth time, that's over the top. So a lot of rabbis actually taught three times is God-pleasing. Of course, we know better. Peter, having walked with the Lord now as his student, thinks, I'm going to take that number, double it, add one. Now, this should be impressive. Should we do it seven times? Thinking this is pretty good. Jesus immediately comes back, and we've all heard this over and over. We've heard this before. Jesus answered immediately, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Oh, the jaws of the disciples would have dropped to the ground. An unimaginable number, a number you couldn't, that point being you couldn't keep track of it. 490, seven times 70? Jaws dropping, disciples in disbelief, and Jesus immediately launches into the extraordinary parable that we find here. In verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. The kingdom of heaven, that phrase we often say at the beginning of a parable, indicating God's gracious rule on earth through Jesus, okay, God being in control. Here's a story about things in the world with a lesson of how God wants it to be in his kingdom. We have it's like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay, let's not get off track with the word servants. It's that Greek word, doulos, which is usually translated slave, simply means somebody working under someone else. What we'll find in this story, the word servant refers to those who worked under what would have been a Middle East king. Having a vast kingdom, these would have been stewards or overseers of a large region. Okay, we get that indication when we find out how much trouble one of the servants is in. So he wants to settle accounts, and he began the settlement. Verse 24, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Whoa, 10,000 talents? We're talking about the equivalent of 20 years of a day laborer's wages. Some experts have calculated this probably somewhere between, in figures today, between $10 and $20 million that this servant, this steward, was supposed to have obviously gathered and had thrown into the national treasury. And he owed the king this astronomical figure, 12 to 20 million. The king calls him into account. Verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Okay, this phrase really shouldn't surprise us, wouldn't have been a surprise. Again, back in the day of Jesus in this culture, the idea of the wife and the children being property, so to speak, something of value. Slavery also occurring during this time in this culture. It would have been natural. Well, we're going to, anything of value. The wife, the kids, the house, that's it. Sign it over to the king. He's taking it, not putting much of a dent into this huge amount, but, you know, we're going to start with that. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Okay, now as we know, this is all an analogy to ourselves before our Heavenly Father. And the unimaginable debt of sin that we need to be accounted for. And again, the exquisiteness of Jesus' story, the dignity of the king, calls this man in. Justice must be done. There must be an accounting. Now, in our Lutheran church, we preach law. You've all known that since you've been going here. Law and gospel. A lot of churches aren't real keen on the law, pointing out where we have come up short, where we have not done the will of the Lord. But we see that in this story here. The servant needed to be brought to account. We need to be brought to account. What's going on out in the streets? Most people have no idea of what they owe, the debt of sin they have accumulated, no idea of this debt, going on their way, and without forgiveness, on the wide path to eternal perdition, lost. We need to know our condition in front of God. We need to be held accountable. And with Jesus' extraordinary story, with those details, it applies to you and me. The sins, the debt that we have accumulated before our Heavenly Father, daily, hourly, by the minute, the sins we have piled up over the years in front of our Heavenly Father. Interesting. Another little exquisite detail. At first, the man thinks, you know, be patient. I can do something about that. And we think, well, that's kind of ridiculous. A debt so great. And again, the natural mind thinks, can I do something? It's got to be something I can do. There's got to be a way out. But we realize it's impossible. We cannot save ourselves. Instead, what happens? Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Again, a perfectly clear image, demonstration, description of our Heavenly Father to us. Cancels the debt that is greater than we even imagine, cancels the debt that we could never, ever pay. Calls us his very children for the sake of Jesus, assures us of eternity in paradise. Wow, what a story. What a story. The merciful king, the servant, astronomical debt, that is you and me, the servant, in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Great, great parable. Gives us more comfort, certainly, than we deserve. And frankly, it'd be great if the story stopped right there. The story goes on. Buckle up for this one. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, 100 denarii, that would have been, again, equal to about, well, a denarii a day, common salary, again, for laborers. We're talking about, what is that, 3 months and 1 week. 3 months and 1 week of a laborer's salary. Okay, we're not talking astronomical here. All right, huge contrast. Okay, 100 denarii. Okay, the man owed him 100 denarii. He, the servant who was just forgiven the huge debt, grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me back what you owe me, he demanded. And immediately we start seeing this glaring, brutal contrast between the merciful, dignified Heavenly Father and this freely, completely forgiven servant. Brutish. Incredible. You can't imagine what a graphic picture Jesus chooses to use. Chokes the man. Grabs him by the neck. He's choking him. Give me my few bucks here. Really? And we instantly, you've got to be kidding me. From the presence of the king, 12 to 20 million wiped out. A little bit of debt here. And that servant grabs the man, chokes him, yelling for his money. You couldn't come up with a more despicable description. It defies reason. We go on. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." Whoa! Bells, red flags, who does that sound like? Be patient with me, I'll pay it back? Who just said those very words? Oh, my word. We're getting daggers in the heart at this point. We are pinned to the wall. We say that to our Heavenly Father. And what do we turn around and do to the people who have wronged us? The story goes on. It gets worse. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. They went out and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Whoa. Now, some Bible experts actually find, you know, as we know throughout the Bible, there's actually a few fascinating references to degrees of heaven and degrees of hell. And you could actually find different degrees of hell depicted in this parable. Okay, you've got the category of, first of all, the man's wife and children were to be sold. That's pretty bad. We got another level where that would happen and the man would be jailed. Again, this is no accident. These exquisite details are in there. All of a sudden, this third level, the man is thrown into prison and tortured. Tortured. What a word for Jesus to insert into his story. God is angry with a white hot anger at us when we don't forgive our fellow man. One final detail. Final verse. Jesus says, "This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Two huge details here. Okay, he's not saying this is how our Father, we're not quite, that's not where he's at right here, right now. It's that serious. It's that much of a requirement. You want God as your Heavenly Father, you got to get this under control. You got to take a look. Any grudges, resentments, things you're holding against anyone that you came into this church with today, you say, Lord, I want to put these down. I want to get rid of these. I want to clean every last one out of my heart. Again, well, man, I don't know about you. 2 or 3 jump into my mind every time. Whether it's family members, co-workers, former teachers, former bosses, neighbors, the list is endless. And I suspect 1, 2, 3 could probably jump into each of your minds too. God's saying, put it down. God is saying, here's the deal, my children. Jesus went to the cross, paid the debt. It is all gone. 12 million, 20 million. Few of us may have a bigger debt than that. Jesus paid for every sin. As we say so often, you can't out-sin God's grace. And God tells us how he forgives us. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Oh, my word. About time Pastor Terry got to the gospel. The true definition of forgiveness. God says, and I don't know how he does it except he's God, he says, I choose to no longer remember your sins. God says to me, they didn't happen. Whoa! Something else you might want to clean out today. Things you may have carried along for quite a while. Oh yeah, I'm the one who did this or did that. We don't need to go into details. God's saying, the true definition of forgiveness, when you are forgiven, in my book, didn't happen. I'm saying it didn't happen. And I can do that because I am God. Oh. Clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, what does that mean? He sees us, all of our sins covered. They're gone. As if you never did them. That is the beautiful, total forgiveness that includes God forgetting that it even happened, that Jesus earned us on the cross. So what God's telling us today, hey, there's a system here. This is the program. As you bask in my forgiveness that Jesus earned for you on the cross, which I accepted as he was raised from the dead, as you live in, bathed in that light of purity that each of us gets for being a child of God, for believing in Jesus, oh man, you had better turn around and forgive everyone of everything they have ever done. That's how it works. That's how it works. But again, we're not naive here either. Again, working with tribals in the Amazon, working with South Sudanese refugees from the Civil War who have seen terrible things. A few extra points to add, which God in his grace gives us. God loves justice. One of the most, to me, most beautiful poetic verses of the whole Bible, Amos 5:24. It says, but let justice roll on like a river. Oh, man. Roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. God loves justice. That's a piece of the picture here, too. You got your role. You forgive. You forgive even, and I'm always surprised how many Christians need, we got to hear this a few times, you forgive even when someone doesn't ask for forgiveness. They don't care about my forgiveness. That's not really the point. God cares that you forgive, that you don't carry that around. You let go of that. And he tells you, I'm a God of justice. I am a God of justice. And then one of the most important concepts, again, I could make a whole other sermon out of this one, tells us in Romans 12, 19, do not take revenge. Okay. We're not in the revenge business. What does God say? Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Oh, man. What? What a picture. You don't do revenge, says the God of justice. You leave that to me. I'll take care of it. You talk about Christians living in an entirely different world. We do not hold things against other people. We don't do that. We don't do that. Lord, help us not to do it. Holy Spirit, give us power. Let go of any resentment, any grudge, anything you still got in there. Lord, help us. And he says, children, I am concerned with justice. I will make it right. And even uses that potent word, revenge is mine. I'll repay. He certainly doesn't like the horrific things that happen to people. Horrible. And it may take time. We never forget this factor too. We're not saying it necessarily happens immediately. But what is our prayer? Lord, as you have forgiven me, give me the strength to forgive those who have wronged me. And boy, does God love to hear that prayer. Not there right now. I want to be there. That wound, Lord, was deep. Boy, that was deep. Jesus is right there. I hear you. I, of course, know where you're at. And I promise you, as it says in Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is close to the broken heart. He's close. He is right there. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Crushed in spirit, whew. Sudanese refugees come upon family members that were killed. Amazon tribals having their women stolen. That's going to take some time. That takes time. But again, we live in a whole different world. We live in a spirit-powered world. God doesn't want to lose anyone, including those who do dastardly deeds. If that person doesn't get things right, they are looking at an eternity of punishment. God would have all men to be saved. But I leave you with this thought. Imagine how differently we Christians are invited to live our lives. Someone wrongs you? Give it to the Lord. He says, I'll take it. God of justice, revenge department is mine, and revenge will be done. Okay, we don't say how, when, we sure love to. He says, I'll take care of it. If it doesn't happen in this world, it happens in the next. It's all taken care of. You be a shining light. You reflect the love of Christ. A love so extraordinary. He's worried about the eternal souls of those nailing him to a cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, my word. Stephen as the stones are flying towards him. Father, forgive them. What examples we have. Let's start today. Clearing out any of those resentments, any of those grudges, any of those feelings, giving them to the Lord. He's got big hands. Hand them off, he tells us in this story. I'll take care of it. As you have been forgiven, Lord, give us the power to forgive all those who have sinned against us. Amen. Amen. Amen.